Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well then, Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty, gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials. So stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
Hey, Danger Dangers here with a special Halloween announcement. Part one of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
D&D Dark is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror adventure that is intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark, a comedy horror adventure real play podcast loosely based on Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition and starring some of history's most infamous monsters. I'm Danger Dangers, and I'm your host / Crypt Keeper.
Hello, I'm Grayson. I play Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man, the party's rogue. We have our cleric back! Yeah! Oh my god. Not gonna lie, not having Imhotep with us has been such a journey, because having that safety net of our cleric and also having Daniel back is something that I've been looking forward to for a very, very, very long time. So I'm gonna leave my recap at that.
You know, fair enough.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ben Magnet. I play Mary Frankenstein, the Barbarian Paladin. And like Grayson said, we got the cleric back!
Yeah!
This entire recap is just going to be just that.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
We're so excited!
Well, we're going to say that. Then we're going to say that we're more fulfilled human beings since you've been gone. And then I guess we're going to do something else.
And also, I just want to point out, because I wrote down in my notes, that on a Nat 20 Divine Smite, real Imhotep came back. So, you're all a welcome.
Yeah.
We got into a fight with a bunch of shadows and zombies and a dude who's just slightly too long. He's a little creepy, but Mary had some anger issues to deal with, so he went to town. And Jack finally got to see him do something cool.
Yeah!
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz, and I play Imhotep the Mummy. Just Imhotep the Mummy this time, right? No man who is too long. Just Imhotep.
Yay!
Out of hell. And so excited to have to fix fucking everything.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron, and I play the Phantom of the Opera, our bard. We've got our cleric back.
Don't sound too excited.
I know, really.
So last time we did a cool combat encounter. We fought a bunch of shadows. I animated a tree with what was literally the last magic I have available to me.
It was so cool.
Absolutely terrifying.
It was very fun. I managed to deal quite a bit of psychic damage to only our Imhotep. That was pretty cool. That was on brand. And speaking of on brand, I gave away my whole multi-session plan by saying it out loud, I guess, again.
I was really hoping that that was going to be hidden since you two were inside the painting.
Oh, you hoped so, huh?
Hi, it's me. I'm Jordan, and I play Larry Talbot, the lycanthropic warlock, and Mom's Home!
Yay!
Mom's Home! We had a fight of us versus some zombies and some shadow demons. And then we had two Imhoteps on the board. Which one do we shoot? We don't know. More often than not, we hit the wrong one. But in the end, it all worked out. Kind of, sort of, because a man who is too long may have gotten away with our book, but that's fine. We're not going to worry about it. Because we've got Mom back. And we're all super excited about that.
Yeah, a thing we didn't really talk about in the moment is that Man Who Is Too Long ran away with the Necronomicon still in his inventory.
Yeah.
Oops. I didn't realize that he was going to skitter away. I thought he was just going to be laying there, but okay.
I thought the rules was when their HP hit zero, they spit out all of their loot like an arcade enemy, but whatever.
You know, like Sonic, and he just drops all the rings.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm sure that won't have any unforeseen consequences. But yeah, now we got to just figure out how the heck are we getting out of here. Because Eric's out of magic and we just have a carriage sans horses.
Oh, yeah. What happened to those?
No. Huh.
I have an idea.
That's fine.
All right. And with that, let's see what your ideas are. Jordan, card of the day.
Card of the day. Guys, we're getting real low on moon, the cards. Moon, I'm just
moon,
saying.
Moon, we'll moon, ride moon. The wolf.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. I think the moon, if my guesses are right, is in two more sessions.
Mm. Well, don't tell the DM.
I mean, could be at any time. What I think silly is we're probably going to line up moon on moon day.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, I'm like, womp womp.
So we'll have a day of the wolf and the night of the wolf. 24 hours.
Wow, just what we wanted. All right, the Hanged Man. If I pick that one, I gain temporary hit points equal to 1d8 plus my spellcasting modifier. Once per short rest, you can choose one creature of your choice within sight. That creature gains hit points equal to your temporary HP. You take an equivalent amount. Okay, so I can have temp HP and then give it to someone. Wheel of Fortune. Instead of rolling, you can declare an automatic result of 20. However, your next two rolls will have an automatic result of 1, even if this card is discarded. So I can kind of do a devil's bargain, but then I get to sort of pick what my nat ones are. And we're going to give Wheel of Fortune some love. We're going to see if I can use that for silly hee-haw reasons.
So, jumping back in to the cemetery in Windsor, I will leave it entirely up to all of you how much time has passed since last time, as much or as little of that catching up can have happened off screen as you would like.
Can I roll a d20 to see how many minutes we've had Emotep locked in a group hug?
Roll a d100.
Oh. Yeah! It's still like 5 minutes.
looks like 28 minutes.
Dead silent, by the way. We're just kind of like breathing all around you.
Then I don't know if we've ever actually established post your Mummy Lord transformation, but is Imhotep also breathing?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to make this weird for everyone because it's my MO. Do you hear him wheezing through his mouth? But as you listen, you can hear him whistling, inhaling. They're coming in through the bandages. He's also inhaling like through open sores or stuff that are still on his body.
Ew. You can feel his breath through his shoulder.
Yes. Some of the wind is like poking out through the ribs and everything.
And he still very clearly does not need to be breathing. He is choosing to do this.
Why do I feel a slight breeze on my rib cage?
It's because there is a slight breeze in your rib cage. Coming from my rib cage.
So, how long are we going to do this?
You've been at this for about 27 and a half minutes. I have been timing it.
3 seconds longer.
30 more seconds. Yep. 30 more seconds.
Yeah, 30 more seconds.
Somehow I missed the boulder.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry about it. It's a hell of a story.
We got time. We don't have to stop hugging just because of the roll. Go ahead and tell us a story.
All right, I finally let go.
And that's time.
It is good to see you all again as well.
That's what the other one said. Get him!
As Phantom says that, he gets the thaumaturgy red eye and just stare.
No, never mind. It's probably the real one.
No, that is definitely the real one. The real one wouldn't have forced your mask off like the other one did.
He did what? He looks at Eric. Did what?
Yeah, he did what?
Don't worry about it, Jack. You can comprehend stimuli. Yeah, it was horrible, Imhotep.
And I just want it for the record that he took it off in front of me willingly.
Oh, we're just telling everyone everything now. Is that how it is?
They all saw it.
Yeah.
Saw what?
You really
just kiss and tell, didn't you?
All right, no, all right, we're doing this then. Hey, they turned your body into weasels, and they had to chase them all the way around Stratford. They broke your body into two sets of weasels. How about that? Fuck you guys, how about that?
But we also got it fixed, so Imhotep, here's your bag, and no more weasels. That's not a thing anymore. And I give Imhotep back his bag of holding.
He takes the bag, looks inside to make sure there are no more weasels.
Roll a d20.
No! No, we got rid of it! We fixed it!
I got a 15. Can I re-roll it to make it funny and low?
Why?
I'll say with a 15, your choice how many weasels are in the bag. They have not replaced any items. They just still exist.
They just live there.
Oh, God.
He sits there, turns the bag upside down, starts shaking it, and out drops like three weasels.
Oh no!
One of them runs away, and looks like touches his body, goes, one's still missing. Oh well.
I'm sure it's gonna be fine, but also, just FYI, we were doing some stuff when you left. There's a set of keys in there that are really, really important, so yeah, just let you know.
Understood.
Yeah, the keys to Dorian's Keep are in there.
The who?
Dorian Gray, real piece of work, a total asshole, you hate his guts. Think Phantom, but worse.
Okay, I don't know why I'm the template for this. I thought we all were loving friends, you know? We're great.
Yeah, you and I are friends. He was an asshole.
That's why you're better.
Dusty, I don't know if we need everybody else. You know what? I think it's you and me, Dusty.
Also, we can't go back to Stratford.
Oh, yeah, it's overrun with weasels.
Wait, why can't we go back to Stratford?
Well, because, the other Imhotep had the book.
I'm sorry. Oh. The book. You were referring to the Necronomicon, right? Yes?
Yep.
Mary's face just instantly just drops, and he is, like, that creepy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Has the Necronomicon.
Yeah. Meet us.
Mary is gonna just take a deep breath, and he is going, let me pull up the map real quick. He is going to walk way over here.
Oh no!
He's like miles away.
And he is going to yell at the very top of his lungs, "Son of a bitch!"
Can Jack do a quick check to see if he can follow any tracks on Eric that ran away?
On Eric?
Yeah,
that's right. He doesn't know that Eric is Phantom. Okay. Yeah, go ahead and roll perception.
Nat one!
Now we're talking.
Yeah!
I don't see shit.
So with a nat one, you can see the path that the man who is too long was running off in, but the footsteps are constantly changing size and shape and get immediately mixed up with just natural footsteps of different animals and people and undead who have been through the area. So you have no idea which set of tracks is his.
But because of what Eric told me in the portrait, in theory, we know where he's going.
When did Eric get in the portrait? I didn't let him go in the portrait.
What?
This is why you just called me Phantom, Larry. It's very important.
Okay, so Phantom told me in the portrait.
Oh, Phantom isn't your real name.
Oh, Lordy.
I'm glad that of all the things that have changed in my absence, some things have not.
Well, it would make sense to assume that man who is too long is going to meet back up with Carionite, which is where we were going anyways. So if we want to reclaim the book, it is also just on the way. We just probably can't make it back to Stratford in time, which is, you know, is fine. We'll figure it out and we'll just kind of go from there.
Thing is, I made a promise to Gonzo and she is going to be pissed. I have a feeling that woman does not let slights against her or broken promises go lightly.
She did say not to return if we can't get the books, so we just don't go back until we get the book.
She gave me a week.
Oh, it's fine. We know her partner.
As everybody's like going back and forth, Imhotep is going to reach out and kind of put hands on shoulders.
Oh, gross. I got a bandage one.
As you say that one, he retracts it. He uncovers his gross wing. And he extends that. over Finch.
Oh!
Pulls him close.
Like an old chicken bone.
Oh, no!
Is this better? Are you happy? Are you glad that you spoke? Do you regret your words yet?
This is why we don't hang out. Oh, no!
Panicking right now is not going to help anything. He looks at Jack. You need to take a nap. Everybody else needs to take the evening.
Okay, hold on. Last emo tip that told me to take a nap, you paid me a visit and you were a real dick.
He's gonna let Phantom go and pull Jack under his wing.
Jack, honey, friend, mortal, if you do not take a nice nap, I'm going to be more than just a dick. I have fancy new spells and I will make you sleep.
Also motherly.
Can I at least lock the door?
Do you think that will stop me? Do you see how cool I look?
It'll make me feel better, okay?
Because, okay. Jack, shit!
Yes, I know you guys with magic can do stuff, but I'm just out here in my sleeves. Jesus.
Jack, I cannot see your face, Eddie, but I can see the bags under your eyes.
I colored them on.
We need to rest. We need to prepare ourselves for future journeying. We can discuss the events of Stratford or going after Markarian Knight, how to deal with this Dracula, which I assume there has been some news in my absence.
We really haven't moved very far forward on that at all.
We're breaking coffins?
I was just going to say, we did make some progress.
Yeah.
As you say breaking coffins, he just kind of looks at Larry. Mr. The dead must be respected.
No. Like, this is so... The information that we got was that if we start destroying some of the coffins, then Dracula gets weaker. I think that was the information that we
Dracula's
got.
Are these Dracula's coffins or are these just...
These are Dracula's personal coffins.
Dracula's.
Oh, that was a Dracula coffin?
Yeah,
it
was.
I thought we had beef.
I mean, we do, but yeah, that was a Dracula coffin.
God, I missed this.
Yay, I'm having so much fun.
Everybody roll perception.
Oh no, we fucked around for too long.
Don't the make cops me do that.
Showed up.
Oh. Oh, scatter.
Ooh, that's a heat. Ooh, that is a unnatural 20.
I got another natural one.
Jack, go to bed.
15.
18.
The 15 and above, so Phantom, Mary, and Larry. The three of you see at the edge of this cemetery, now that you have dispersed all of the shadows, all of the vampire spawn have run away, you do see a few figures lurking off at the edge of the cemetery. It looks as though a few of the vampire spawn have not left and are watching you from a slight distance. And I will say with the unnatural 20, Mary, you recognize that these three vampire spawn were not there with the initial group that were bringing in Dracula's coffins. They are tucking away an extremely long trench coat in their pockets as they hesitate to get in closer with all of the commotion going on and with all of the everything that just happened, but are keeping a wary eye out and talking amongst themselves, debating on when to approach.
And I recognize these as, like, the triplets who are the salespeople, right?
Yep, this is Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Hell yeah!
Yeah!
I look over, I was like, it's okay. We're not gonna hurt you, Huey, Dewey, and Louie. You can come out.
I forget, I wasn't here for this part, for meeting these characters, right?
No, you don't know them, but they're super cool.
They're also really efficient.
Very efficient, yeah.
They sell us some really cool stuff. That's how I got this. And I show my shield, and also this, into my longsword.
And the three of them from a distance, at the edge of the map, all kind of look to each other, nod, and then walk away off the edge of the map, and then loop back around on the left side of the map.
Whoa.
Things have gotten strange the last week.
Oh, tell me about it. So having Pac-Maned their way around to the other side, they slowly approach. They hesitate for a moment as they get within a certain proximity of Larry, and then push through and continue forward. We overheard you talking about Stratford. We would recommend staying away for at least a few days. Things are getting pretty tense there. And also, if you're going through London, it's getting very heavily militarized. We had a very hard time getting through. We're basically just kind of running for it ourselves. But if you've got some more commerce you want to do, We've got an update on some of the materials you asked us to look for.
Ooh.
Did you guys find anything that I needed?
Yes, if you have the money, I believe we agreed upon 67 gold for all of your materials, which was partially to be covered by Marlo Bronte. We ran into him on the way over here, and he is not honoring that agreement, so it is now going to be 70.
Mary, you need to fix that.
I was under the influence of a weird magical guy.
Yeah, but Marlo doesn't understand that. You gotta take responsibility for that shit.
And I'm going to once we are back in Stratford, and that is another thing on the long list of shit we need to deal with. And trust me, I will make it right.
I've got a convo card. You could take care of that sooner. Marlo's a very valuable ally. We need him on our side.
This needs to be done face to face. But also, we have bigger problems that we need to deal with, Carrie and I being one of them.
Right.
And trust me, Jack, I will fix this. I will do whatever I need to do so we can repair our relationship with Marlo Bronte. But we have other things. And as someone who was essentially puppeteered to murder a bunch of people in Stratford, I think that you would know that I was not aware of what was really going on.
Oh, yeah, Dusty, just to keep you apprised. Marlo got really mad at us for no particular reason, and then Mary punched him, so...
I didn't punch him. The fake Imhotep was making me hear things that Marlo wasn't really saying.
All right, guys, I think the best course of action is let Marlo cool down a little bit, let him go home, figure out what to do there. I'm sure he's got a lot of stuff on his plate. We can figure out our immediate situation, and then once we've wrapped up and kind of have our resources together, and he can even go back to Stratford to engage with him, then I think that might be a better time where we all have level heads. But in the meantime, let's recoup our resources. I mean, Huey, Dewey, and Louie came all the way out here. We might as well do some business with them.
Yes, please, and we'll give you any discounts if you give us some blood.
I'll pay full price, thank you.
But also, please, this sounds really personal, so if you could just keep that baggage to yourselves. With your whole Stratford thing, give it at least a few days. Things are changing pretty rapidly over there. There's a whole off-screen side adventure happening right now. It's a bit of a mess. Anyway, here's the stuff you asked for. Your science stuff. You've got your propulsion device, your grappling hook, your wire mechanisms. You agreed to put it together yourself, so...
Yeah, I'll hand over 70 gold.
All right, so you can add to your inventory all of the components to a Batman grapple gun.
Sick.
Any word or news on fighting a lightning-based weapon?
Lightning we haven't really had a lot of success with. We do have a bead on something based in thunder, if that's an acceptable compromise. If you can give us, like, a week or two, we might be able to scrounge something together for you.
That works. And how much is that going to cost me?
Well, it might not be something that we can acquire for you. It might just be a trade of information, in which case, not very much. If it is the actual item itself, it'll cost a hell of a lot. So let us get some more information before we hard settle down on a price.
I could accept that. But I will also, and as much as I would like to give you guys some blood, trust me, you do not want mine. One time, Orlok took a bite and turned into a giant spider, and I don't want to see what happens to you. But I would like to take one of your potions of healing, please.
Regular basic potion of healing?
Yeah, regular basic potion of healing.
That'll be 50 gold.
Okay.
Go ahead and add that to your inventory.
Yay!
It's good to see the three of you again. I would like whatever the entire stock of your Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde potions are. I will provide you with this sack of an immeasurable amount of coins, and then Phantom drops what is clearly a very small sack of a moderate amount of coins.
Oh, that's right. Are you still hallucinating about that?
Yes. You're going to have quite, like, go on, everybody gets a little sippy sip of blood, and I've even got this, and it's a book of what we call Egyptians as written by the Nubians.
What?
It's where I got all those slurs from.
Okay, so between the blood, the book of slurs, and all your money, they look to each other, squint, and then hand over two of the Jekyll elixirs. They just kind of slide across the floor. Take the stuff. You are now at 0 gold. Go ahead and subtract from your 60 gold.
Whoa! Whoa!
And then they are going to rock, paper, scissors between the three of them. And I'm just going to roll a d6 to see who loses. One. So Huey is the one who does not drink any blood. The other two, Dewey and Louie, both then take an arm, and they each take a ration of blood.
Larry's going to get a little nauseous and turn the other way. Just
as they're doing this, I'm going to also look at the book that they're handing him.
Dusty, remember that? Remember that from like 10 minutes ago? I was studying your history.
There are many famous stories of my time. The story of Senue, the Book of the Dead. The Book of Slurs is one of the lesser known ones.
They do not like you. Is two rations enough that there's some HP?
That will be a D6 plus 3.
Oh, oof. Ow. Oh, and now I roll high. All right, that'll be a 9 damage.
Oh,
eager beavers, I see. Ah.
Larry's going to walk up and say, hey, do you have any more of those, like, magical candies?
And they're going to look at you a little puzzled.
Yeah, they're like really tiny jawbreakers.
You're not supposed to eat those.
Ooh.
But yes, here.
Okay, I'll take one of those. A potion of healing, an alcoholic beverage. And then, this is a funny for Jordan. I feel like we've been playing D&D long enough that it's about time. This is not on the list, but may I perhaps purchase a 10-foot pole? It is a famous D&D item that has existed all up until 5e, where it's become barely relevant.
It was a thing in like the first couple of editions that was just a standard part of every character's inventory.
Because the game was so deadly and so filled with traps that every time you'd enter or even think about going into a room, you have to just smack it with a 10-foot pole to make sure you don't instant die.
Let me read you the actual description of the 10-foot pole in D&D's adventuring gear. When you suspect a trap, you can put the end of your 10-foot pole through that hole in the wall instead of reaching in with your hand.
It's so specific.
So if you encounter any suspicious holes in the wall,
just poke them with a stick.
You can put a 10-foot pole up to it to see if it's a trap.
Brilliant.
So yes, that will be 1 gold.
Yeah, all right.
And they don't have a 10-foot pole on them. They just kind of look around and see the unreanimated dead tree. And while Louie is chatting with you, Huey is going to sneak around behind the tree and just break off an 11-foot branch and then really quickly just kind of like saw off the end of it. And then swivel back around and hand that 10-foot pole over to you, along with the potion of healing, the pearl of power, and the alcoholic beverage, which should come out to, I believe, 131 gold total.
Yes. All right. And I have 171, so 40 coins. That's what I got left.
How much would that discount be if I let them have a nibble?
It depends on what you're buying.
I'm basically going to give them a sack of 500 gold, and I'm hoping they toss in a 25 gold discount. But it's going to be a greater healing potion, hand crossbow, smoke bomb, another flash grenade, fire extinguishing chemicals, the holy water hand grenade that I created, but that I have to probably create or build myself. But it's going to be components for at least two of those, and then also the gunpowder and alkali metals that I talked to you about. But it would be two of those as well.
I will say for 500 gold minus 25, sure.
Sweet. So they can have a little nibble.
Nom nom nom.
So Dewey and Louie start to approach. Huey shoves them out of the way and then sinks his teeth into your neck.
I don't like this.
He will take a ration of blood, which only one ration of blood is not enough to deal any damage. So
it still feels really uncomfortable.
It's still not pleasant.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
So, but yeah, I am poor now.
Yay! One of us.
I've still got 115, so.
Oh yeah, Dusty, you buying anything? They got a cool book.
I can't think of anything that I necessarily want, nor do I think I have the blood that they want to drink.
You want to buy me more Jekyll potions?
Do you have blood at this point?
You know what I imagine it is? It's the ooze.
Oh, God.
Ew. It's green.
Interesting.
Oh, no!
You know what? I look at Phantom. Can you go one more?
Yeah, get on over here.
Because I want to buy a potion of greater healing, and I am 10 gold short.
All right. So, Phantom, take another...
You know what? No, you know what? We're going to live with the consequences of my own action. He's going to extend his wrist.
Yeah. Dusty, I appreciate the thought, but I kind of like the attention. So.
That's got some dark implications.
Oh, no. Oh, we need to get into a therapist fast.
Yeah, he's got some issues.
Gonna roll a d20, 10 or below. Gonna bite into Imhotep, 11 or higher. Gonna bite into Phantom.
No.
Just seeing everyone get chewed on is making Larry real uncomfortable. He's going to go take a walk.
3. So go ahead and add to your inventory a potion of greater healing. So this is going to be Louis. It's going to hesitate for a second, but then shrug and go for it. And I'm going to have him make 3 wisdom saving throws. Oh no, it was charisma saving throws. With emphasis.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!
Well, that was a 9 and 2 nat 1s.
Oh no!
And Louis, before your eyes, as he drinks of your blood that is infused with the primordial ooze of Diz, takes a step back and spasms, and his bones begin to crack and shatter. He flops to the ground, and his body begins to morph and recontextualize itself and fill with a dark primal energy. Red light will erupt from out of his eyes as he levitates up off the ground, letting out an unearthly wail. And then everything will snap back to normal. He will fall down and stand back up as a full vampire.
Oh my god!
What? Oh shit!
What was that?
Imhotep is going to look at this, cover up his wrist, and like pull his hand back. Oops.
He never did that for my blood.
Larry's gonna like peek over the shrub about 30 feet away and go, "What the heck happened?"
He's edgy now.
You okay?
Huey and Dewey are going to stare stunned, start to step towards Louis. He holds out a hand and the two of them both are telekinetically flung back up against a couple of headstones.
Oh.
They look to each other and then slowly bow their heads in deference. Louis drops his hand. They drop to the floor. He looks at all of you and says, "Our business is concluded."
Oh, shit.
Why do we ruin every merchant place we have? We ruined London. We ruined Stratford.
And Imhotep is going to look at Louis and say, "Well, what will you do now?"
I have my own keep to establish now.
But we're still cool, right?
We harbor no ill will towards you, do we? And he snaps his fingers, and both Huey and Dewey snap to attention and shakily nod.
Oh, shit.
Why do we destroy everything we touch?
Best of luck with your issues. And then he walks away and signals for Huey and Dewey to follow, who, in marching step, walk behind him as the three of them leave.
He's gonna kind of like stage whisper as they go, "I'm sorry, I didn't think that was going to happen."
What was that?
Don't worry about it. Everything is fine. I'm regular normal Imhotep. We should take you guys and get to bed now.
Do we all get upgrades if we bite you?
Are you planning on biting me?
Phantom bites Imhotep.
Yeah! Can I take, like, a rolled-up newspaper and start smacking him on the nose?
I don't want to draw blood. I just want it to be for fun.
Just chew on him a little bit.
I'm going to roll a d20.
Oh, no!
That's a 6, so take a d12 poison damage.
God. This is how you catch curses. Stop it.
But you're unchanged. You're still fine.
Okay. And it's only a one, so it's good. The bit is good.
Also, now that they're gone, you guys could have bought horses.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, bad feeling.
Wait, no, come back. We need to...
Womp womp.
Damn it.
I ain't got no gold left.
I have like 77.
I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to stifle any creative solutions you guys would have come up with, but you could have bought horses.
It's fine. Mary can just pull the carriage.
I was thinking the same thing.
Kronk.
Hey, Mary.
What is it, Jack?
Are you susceptible to... Well, I guess the whole Marlowe interaction kind of answered it, but I bought this for you. I'm going to hand over the fire-extinguishing chemicals that I bought, and I've already mixed it all up.
Aww.
And it's going to be in like a little packet, and all you got to do is basically just... If you want, you could wear it as a necklace or whatever, but as soon as you slap it, the chemicals should extinguish over your body.
That's so cool!
You made this for me?
I'm the science bullshit guy, so... Yeah, I saw that fire really sucks for you.
Jack, you're literally talking to a walking science experiment. I would not call your science bullshit.
Except for just now.
I'll call it that. I am 4,000 years old and science scares me.
Old man screams at cloud.
Exactly.
I take the necklace, I put it on, and I tuck it under my shirt.
Hopefully this little experiment helps.
I'm pretty sure it will. Don't call it science bullshit. And I like give him a little nudge. I call it science genius. That might even rival my father.
And I guess I go over to the carriage. I go, we needed horses.
Inspiration.
Oh, thank you.
Are we planning to like go nap now?
That's up to you guys.
Well, if that's the case, I would like to have Jack go stealth off.
Cool.
It doesn't sound like anyone's stopping you, so...
We'll catch up with you later, Grayson!
While the interaction between Jack and Mary was happening, Larry's just in the background going, friendship necklace! Yay!
Dusty, can I borrow you for just a moment?
Depends what you need me for.
Dusty, I'm going to try something I have never tried before. Being honest. So here's what's happened that's really important, I think... While you've been gone, I used the Necronomicon. I told everyone I was going to bring you back, but I actually wanted a super nuke to kill Dracula. I'm sorry that I did not try particularly hard to bring you back. I'm sorry, and I appreciate your sacrifice for me, and I am sorry that you had to make it. It is good to see you again. That said, I opened up a bunch of portals to the abyss, and I have flooded the world with horrible abyss monsters, kind of like that power that you had before you died, but everywhere and not particularly cat themed. I'm afraid that I've done a great harm to the party in pursuit of revenge, and then the revenge didn't work out, and it got me thinking that sometimes I have thrown away quite a lot on things that don't work out. So I want to try something else now. I think we should really support Larry in this whole Carrionite witch thing. I don't think it's that important. It's just to save a bunch of rich aristocrats who suck ass, honestly. They seem like assholes. But I think it's important to Larry, and I think he could use our support in this time.
Imhotep is going to look back to Larry, who, from the looks of things, is asleep on the ground.
He's taking a little nap against the log. He's very tired.
He looks back to Phantom and says, I believed that you still had a story to tell. I have lived mine, and I was ready to accept whatever happened. You say it was only a week? Could have sworn it was like 200 years, it felt like.
It was really fun for us.
In the time that I was away, you did things with aristocrats. You fought somebody who, quote, is like Phantom, but worse.
He was like blonde, couldn't have been older than 19. Probably went to hell just a couple of days ago.
Wait a minute. Oh, you mean that asshole?
Sure. I don't know how you could possibly know, but sure.
Neither here nor there. And then you made what sounds like possibly one of the dumbest, most ridiculous, asinine decisions.
I wouldn't really spin it that way, but sure.
I'm not done talking.
The mom is back.
Inspiration, if you didn't have it already.
And have brought potentially so much suffering to this world, on top of what we as a group have already brought in the form of Dracula. And you think that just now, by helping Larry, is going to make everything fine between us, is what I am hearing?
I think it's a start.
He kind of steps closer.
Oh, you're really gooey.
I want to believe you. I truly do. But from what I remember, there is always more to you. There is what you show and what you hide. What are you hiding?
Okay, well, this time, I want to be clear. I am hiding more things.
Kind of.
I mean, you sort of cut me off. I have a whole list. And Phantom produces a list. So I think Jack's going to need our help. Evil guy. The man, I would say, who's kind of like too long. Seems to have antagonized Jack. And I don't know. For some reason, he said that he should depart from the rest of the group. And I can't imagine why that is. But I know that Jack can feel sometimes with his lack of a ludicrous amount of magical power, like he doesn't necessarily fit in all the time. I think that we should do something to show our support for him as well. And then Mary's crushing it. I don't know what to say. Mary's doing great. I wish there was some way we could do something, but like, Mary's fine. The reason I'm telling you this is I think you have accurately clocked a lack of trust in me, and so I think any help would be better received from you, and I would like this help to be effective. So would you mind maybe taking point?
Oh.
Wow, don't be too enthusiastic about it. God damn.
Give me a moment. I'm trying to give you a seed. Let me find the right words. I believe the saying goes, the greatest of journeys all begin with a single step. You have done much to many people, but I can sense within you the honest desire to help these two. And I see this as the first step on this journey. I will do what I can to help you to help them.
Thanks, Dusty.
Stop calling me Dusty. Not even Dusty anymore. Look at me. You might have remarked that I am goofy.
But it's less endearing.
I suppose.
I have one last question.
No, you cannot beat me and get powers.
Okay, different question then. How are you? I know that you were trying to reach your eternal rest again. I hope dearly that we haven't pulled you out of it twice.
What do you think, to any god that would claim it, is the value of your soul? Not a soul, your soul.
This seems like sort of a deflection, Imhotep, but I will answer your question. I have genuinely, literally never once thought about it.
I can tell you that there are those who have.
Ooh.
Oh my god, they want me in Egyptian heaven? Hell yeah!
yeah, about that. Sure, let's go with that. But the only way for you to retain your place in Egyptian heaven is to see these things that you would ask of me through.
All right, Phantom, roll insight.
Oh, no! Oh, hell. Oh, God. So good. Hold on.
Is it a nat one?
I wish it was. It is a 3. Plus 5 is 8.
Oh. It could be
I'm
worse.
Going to Egyptian heaven, baby.
Heck yeah, dude.
Continue.
I will help to foster this growth to shepherd you to the end of this story and help you find your place in the Egyptian heaven.
I'm so excited. You and I will both get to cross the Dwat. This will be great.
The Dwat.
Motep just kind of rubs his temples, kind of like I'm doing right now. I take my glasses off of this.
Look, the character sucks, all right? I can't make Phantom good.
Amazing.
Oh, God, I promised to help get this guy out of fucking hell. Oh, no.
In any case, I am so, so sorry that we have separated you once again from your eternal rest, but thank you, Imhotep, for coming back to us.
Oh, no, actually, I was totally cool with coming back. He just pulls Eric close. Okay, so I've been very nice and been saying nice things to you. I went where you were supposed to go.
Why was I supposed to go to Egyptian heaven?
You weren't.
Regular heaven? A neutral afterlife? Phantom looks down at his punch card with like 7 punches on it.
Two more and you get a free sandwich.
Look, the sandwich aside, I was not and am not worried about my soul, Imhotep, but it means a lot to me that you are. If it's all the same to you, the good I do here is for the people I do it for. An eternal reward's not really my style.
I'm just trying to keep you from what I had to go through, because holy.
What was it, like a little fire? You know what, we can talk about this some other time. We should probably get back to the group. I appreciate you hearing me out, Imhotep, and I appreciate you, you know, helping me.
Before the group reassembles, Jack, what are you doing off by yourself?
He's trying to kind of gather his wits about him, and he's taking out his notebook and he's jotting down like a whole bunch of stuff, trying to get things out so that way he doesn't have to continuously compartmentalize a whole bunch of different things. But as he's doing that, he keeps looking over at the Plague Doctor mask, and he's trying to reflect on what was it like to decapitate something, and if one being translates over to another, so kind of like equating life for life, would I be able to roll an insight on myself?
Oh,
interesting. Sure. As you are rolling your insight, what is it that you are trying? What is it that you're looking for?
He's looking to see if the killing of an enemy is different from generally killing, and whether that excited him or whether that made him feel bad or whether that was something that he feels anything for, whether he's been hardened to it because of the adventuring or if this is kind of a life that he wants to continue with. Did roll an 8 for disadvantage, so that's going to give me 17.
With a 17, you have conflicted feelings about it. There is a distinction between what is necessary for survival and what is done without necessity. So the meaningless taking of a life feels different from taking down an enemy in combat. That is a matter of survival. That is a matter of extreme circumstance. But you have experience with both at this point, and you have that gut feeling that you felt when you woke up with several dead bodies at your feet and your own bloodied knives, knowing that even though it was an outside influence, that was still you. And you feel simultaneously repulsion and intrigue.
Ooh.
With that, Jack's, his thoughts are starting to line up with that other side that he's had locked away for a little bit. And where he's at, he's in like a small room, and he's at a desk, and he's working on the different chemicals that he's been given, and he's of course crafting his grappling hook and all that stuff, and he's telling himself, okay, Everyone's getting a little bit of a power boost. I gotta try and keep up. But there's a lot I gotta try and keep a handle on. And he's gonna look over at the Plague Doctor mask. You're not allowed to come out yet. You can't come out. I don't permit you to come out now. Need to keep focusing on something. Keep my hands busy. And he's gonna keep working on stuff, but every now and then he's gonna look over at the Plague Doctor mask, and for a brief moment in time, he's gonna finally take his eyes off of it, and he's gonna doze off for a moment. And after that, I'll kind of let whatever happens happen.
As you look away, you can feel in yourself a dissonance between how you know you should feel and how you do feel. And if you were to look back at the mask, it is gone.
He'll wake up with a bit of a start, and his heart's just pounding, kind of like when you wake up and you think that you're late for work, and then you realize it's your day off, and he'll just realize that it's gone. Or is it? I know I left it right here. And masks, they don't move, but you did before when when other... Who the fuck is Eric?
I think Imhotep will kind of walk up. Jack, I was hearing that, whoa, as he screams, who the fuck is Eric? Huh?
Jack's going to pull his knife because he wasn't expecting anyone.
What is with the... He mimics a beak coming off of his face. I don't know why I have the weird bird stuff.
Sorry. Puts his knife back away. It was a disguise that we had to do when we were fighting the Dorian guy. He was having a ball, a soiree, and we all had to dress up. And this was one of the things that I found in our costume packages.
We have costume packages? I want a costume package.
We can certainly get you one back at the carriage.
Are you doing okay? I heard you muttering to yourself, and you're wearing the strange bird face. I understand that you're very smart and you're trying to be like Thoth, but...
He's going to reach up and start feeling his face and realize that the mask is on him. Didn't realize I still had this on. And he's going to remember that he showed the other Imhotep that he was losing his invisibility and not remove the mask and kind of keep it on because he doesn't want to disappoint anyone.
Oh, all the consequences of Daniel's actions.
tell me more about this Thoth person. I don't know too much. Was he more inclined to knowledge or magics or?
He is a god of knowledge, is the form of an ibis with a beak similar to the one on your mask.
Interesting. If you have any stories, I'd love to hear them over time. Wait, do you have a certain alignment to this Thoth? Like, are they good for you, or?
It is not the deity that I personally am devoted to, but they are, of course, one of the ones that are not inherently bad. They're good, and it is knowledge. But... This mask, take it off. I wish to see the, you know, bandages that you wore. That is closest thing to a face that I have gotten to know. I'm already used to seeing that one. He forks a thumb over shoulder at Phantom wearing a mask. Don't need two of you doing it.
Phantom's flossing in the background.
Well, before I do that, why don't you tell me about the new digs that you got? You look like you changed. You have a little bit of a horn. You have a wing now. What is that? Does it help you fly? I mean, I can't imagine that it helps you fly because it's one wing. And
can I insight to see if he's deflecting?
Go ahead and roll insight with advantage since this is pretty obvious deflection.
They are both sixes, LMAO. So it's a 17.
Oh damn. Shit.
Okay.
My insight's a plus 9, dude.
Yeah, my insight's a plus 9, too.
Oh, so that would be a 15, then.
You know? Oh. Shut up.
Maybe you should have worshipped Thoth.
Shut up.
I will leave it up to you, Grayson. If you want to, you can roll deception opposed to that. It's up to you on how hard you are trying to deflect.
With a 14 is my lowest. I think my deception is a plus 10.
Jesus.
So that's a 24.
Okay, well, I guess I don't pick up that you're deflecting.
Yeah, he's very curious about your new digs.
A very earnestly curious man.
I mean, this isn't out of character.
And true. Well, I'll just say it this way. Hell sucks.
So hell actually exists.
And it's not very fun.
I wouldn't imagine it. So is it the whole over in the States, they roughly do a whole evangelical type thing. Is it that or something else? I'm sorry. It's a little bit of a spoiler for my potential even afterlife, I assume.
It was a lot of things in a lot of places with a lot of stuff happening.
All right. Vague. I like it.
Trust me. I did a lot of growing in the last 200 years of pushing a boulder uphill.
Wait, so does time pass faster?
Don't worry about it. It's a lot of detail for things that are not important.
Okay.
Can you please take the mask off? It is difficult to understand you.
Give me a moment, because you know me with bandages. And he's going to look for the darkest area in the room and then turn his back to Imhotep. And I would assume that with some of the light kind of bleeding through, you probably start to see like maybe what might look like the back of his neck and maybe some of his hair that's been kind of revealed a bit. And he's going to start putting on the bandages again.
As he's putting the bandages on, he feels Imhotep's hand rest on his shoulder. Do not put them on.
If I don't put them on, you can't see me. So,
Jack,
face
me, please.
He's going to turn half of his face, like looking over the shoulder. Because I think if I remember correctly, we said that he was 50-50 now.
I would say at this point, you are more visible than not.
Okay. You can see part of his face, like the lower jaw, kind of exposed. And some of his sideburns. And his ear is roughly completely visible.
Kind of looks at him and... like looking him directly in the eyes, because it's the first time that he can like actually do that. And he kind of takes a moment and thinks about what Phantom told him, kind of collects his thoughts for a moment and says, "You are changing. How is it? How do you feel about these changes that are happening to you?"
"I'm conflicted. I've been wanting this for so long. But this is not the right time. And if I don't have this, I don't bring anything else to the team."
"And who told you this?"
"You."
"Mom."
"As soon as he gets back, who hurt all of my children? I am going to find them and beat them up." "Was that the man who was too long? Did the man who was too long hurt your feelings?"
"To simplify things, sure. I struggle with a lot. Can I trust you with something?"
"I feel like a lot of people are trusting me with a lot of things today, so why not keep that train rolling?"
"You weren't with us when we were in the asylum. And, I think I clocked that Phantom was roughly feeling the same way that I was. And I've been in an asylum for a period of time. And it took a long time for issues that I had that still linger, but practicing what I was taught in the asylum have kept things at bay. So there are, of course, always those little thoughts that kind of creep back in. And I think Can you answer something real quick?
I can certainly try.
Who is Eric? Because when I say that name, everyone looks puzzled at me, and there's a glance that Phantom gives me, and I don't know if I'm saying the name incorrectly or there's something that I don't know. And there's been a lot of these things that I don't understand.
As brilliant of a man as you are, who has created a wonderful serum and has been able to do so many wonderful things, I'm going to answer your question with another question. Did you really think Phantom was his real name?
I thought it was a title that he had adopted. And
what do you think Phantom's real name is?
I don't know.
Context clues here, my friend. What do you think Phantom's real name is?
That's so weird.
If you really want to throw him off, just call him that. It's funny. Trust me.
Nah. So, back to the original point. Yes, not Eric. What do you guys call him?
The man who is too long?
Yeah. Descriptor words? Sure, we'll go with that. yes, man who is too long pretended to be you. Oddly enough, he got some of the descriptions of you kind of correct, but I think they were a little bit off. I mean, the finer details at least. But he introduced the thought out loud, and sometimes when things are said, it rattles around in there, and you start second guessing whether things are going to be a certain way.
You worry that without your invisibility, you bring nothing to this team. That without it, you are not worth being an ally.
He's going to reach over and open up his jacket, which is lined with many, many pockets. And he says, I know originally when, I mean, technically I didn't really get asked, but I tagged along because you guys seemed to keep me alive in the crypt, and I needed to find Raynor again because he has a ton of gold, and I thought I needed that gold in order to do my serum and my experiments and my research, and I wanted to take all that gold and go back home, and that was the original plan. But now I'm gathering as much stuff as I can because I know that I'm losing the one advantage that I had on many, many people, because I need to try and keep up with you all. And even Mary has magic now. It seems like everyone's getting magic.
And guns.
So the best I got right now is, and he's going to show in motion to Imhotep his contraption that he's building. And it's his grappling hook gun.
Imhotep looks at this grapple gun, looks back at Jack and says, do you think that even if you were visible, you could still jump from a bush to a bush and stab people?
Well, technically, I don't need a bush anymore. And he now shows off his painting. Technically, if we really wanted to, and I was thinking about this, I don't know how to say this in something that would not be offensive, but I kind of wanted to put a harness on Mary, because if I do that, maybe he can hold the painting like a backpack, and then I could spring out and do a thing.
I'm going to stop you there, but Jack. I'm going to stop you there. It is a little bit trying to say that you want to turn Mary into your pack mule to carry you around. It is inside of a pocket dimension. It's a little bit weird. That being said,
it is kind of what I thought. That's why I haven't brought it up.
Probably don't. Find a different idea. But that being said, you bring more to this team than just being invisible. You are in the presence of a 4,000-year-old undead, a man who turns into a wolf, a homeless man from Paris who is also able to cast magic, and a now magically imbued construct of flesh. And you say that you struggle to keep up with us, were your words. I do not believe that is the case. If you truly wish to be seen again, I still believe that there is a place for you here. If you become visible again, you will still have friends and phantom.
Cool.
Hey, hey, I don't know how much you wanted to change last week.
It's just, it's good to have you back.
It is good to be back. And with that, he points to the bed, sleep.
All right, well, if you guys are taking another long rest.
Well, shit, I'll take a long rest. Holy crap, I didn't think I was going to have magic for so long.
I mean, I will let you guys know time will continue to pass if you take another rest.
Maybe we just take a sleeping body and put it in the carriage.
Okay.
We are on a time crunch.
All right.
Tick, tick, the moon is coming.
You are currently 3 days away from a full moon. It will make it two if you take a long rest.
Let's keep it at three, please.
Let's make it one.
No! I feel like we would like to wolf out and just eat carrionite. Am I wrong in this? Is that not best case scenario?
How long does it take for us to get to carrionite?
That's the rub.
Ooh-wee. Because a parallel dilemma Larry's got to think is, I believe on the day of the full moon is when I'm able to use my lotus.
That is when the lotus flower will bloom, is the day of the full moon.
Oh.
Oh. Which, what I will say timing-wise, if you take a rest now, you will arrive in the swamp on the day of the full moon, and I will put you on another timer. Assuming that you go straight there.
Yeah, I think so.
If you leave first without taking a rest, you will have another day's worth of wiggle room in case there are any bumps along the way.
Oh, you saying that.
You basically have to get the carriage back up. You have to get through London and then get to South Downs and then get through the stuff in the swamp.
My vote would be rest after London so we can be sure we have all of our resources fighting the witch.
I think I'd rather wait to rest.
Let's delay that time.
Yeah, all right. I'm done.
So as we reconvene, so I have a kind of idea to get the carriage started.
Oh,
I'm listening.
What you got?
It's not incredibly creative, but Mary's pretty handy with his broom and...
Oh.
I could let him borrow it.
Now, that being said, the broom can carry 400 pounds.
Yeah, I don't have any spells that would work.
I just had a really dumb idea.
A bunch of zombies pull the carriage.
I do still have my dance macabre.
Oh.
I can summon 7 zombies to pull the carriage.
Hey, whatever'll work.
I mean, I think that would be a problem with us getting through London.
I mean, Mary pulling the carriage isn't much better. It's either we have one big amalgam man or a bunch of corpses.
What happened to the horses anyway? They were very nice.
I just point to Phantom.
That checks out. Never mind.
What if we find the richest, jerkiest rich man and steal his horses?
Dan, can I roll whatever we would roll to steal the horses to see if I already did it? Like, Mary's like, I can't believe I'd even suggest it. Then they turn around and Phantom has the horses.
Roll performance with advantage.
But is this going to be another hallucination?
Oh, that would be also very funny. 17 on the die, plus 8, 25.
Woo!
Yeah, you already stole a couple horses.
Hell yeah.
So as Mary finishes saying that, you hear like a sputter, like a...
I just turn around and I see these horses already hitched up to the carriage. I'm like,
what? But you know what? I'm just going to pretend they were there the whole time. I think the guy deserved it. Let's go.
I kind of thought that the road was going to get here anyway, so...
And you hear off in the distance someone yell, "Who let my horses out? Guards!"
Oh, let's go.
Wait a minute, was that the guy who told me here's a tip, get a real job? Oh yeah, he definitely deserved it. Let's go.
I love that.
Oathbreaker.
He's still alive.
You know what? This is all just part of his journey to redemption. He needs to hit some lows in order to build himself back
up. As you depart from Windsor and begin to make your way back to London, immediately at the city border, you are hit in the face with an oppressive layer of smoke and smog from the factories that are billowing out.
Ooh.
Triple time. Every square inch of London is completely darkened and the skies are completely blotted out by this smoke that is spiraling around Warwick Castle and that is pluming out of these factories. And you hear more commotion as you begin to approach the city and see more activity on the streets. There are tons of roving mobs of people by lamplight that are making their way through citizens' militias patrolling the streets. And you can see that they're a little bit better armed and equipped than they were the last time through. Larry, you begin to get a little bit of a bristle as you can sense that their pitchforks and their swords are tipped with silver.
Ooh.
More of them are carrying around torches and lanterns and sources of fire. They seem to be a bit more on guard. And as you begin to make your way through some of the more densely populated areas, you come across a blockade. And you can see a crowd of individuals surrounding a shadow demon and torching it out of existence.
Oh, shoot.
As four guards surround you, making their way up to the carriage, holding up their hands to stop you and knock on the window.
During the trip, would it be okay that I said that I was working on the false identity thing that I have?
Explain.
The false identity trait that I have for, I think it was Mastermind. It says, you have created a second identity that includes documentation, established acquaintances, and disguises that allow you to assume the persona. Additionally, you can forge documents, including official papers and personal letters, as long as you have seen an example of the kind of document or the handwriting you're trying to copy.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So two of these guards approach, and these guards have a few wanted posters in their hands.
Mm.
They say,
a request for them to be aggressively, annoyingly copy.
All right, we need to see some documentation.
Brilliant.
This is for the safety of all involved.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. Peering through the tint of the window, you can see, faintly poking out from the stack of papers, wanted posters for Dr. Jack Griffin, famed serial killer, the Phantom of the Opera, Victor Frankenstein's flesh golem, the Countess Carmilla Karnstein, and Lawrence Stewart Talbot, also known as the Flying Man.
Yes! Yeah! Larry's thrilled. He's like, I'm so happy.
If you pass inspection, we'll let you go through free. You'll have the protection of the civil militia. We just need to ensure that everything stays safe.
With the wanted posters, what does Jax look like?
It is the bandages, the goggles, the top hat, your standard appearance and attire.
Okay. With that, Jax's going to, on the way in, he would have removed his long coat and been working on some makeup stuff that he's had for the longest time that I haven't used. And he's going to look like someone different. And he's going to go to the window, present the documentation that shows that they are part of a secret police that is en route to go and hunt down some witches or some hags.
Roll deception. This is with advantage because of your disguise feature. Because of your exhaustion, that advantage will be neutralized, so it'll be just a straight deception roll. The DC is 24.
Oh! Hell yeah, let's do this. And I'm gonna go ahead and burn a luck.
Oh. Hey, yo, would a bottle of Riz help you out?
Don't even need it, because I rolled an 18, so that's going to be a 28.
Ooh. Yeah!
Yeah,
you
baby!
Don't need no bottle of Riz.
One of the guards will start looking over the documentation. Another guard will look in through the window and peer at all of you.
Can I put a fake beard over my mustache and sideburns?
Yes, you can put a fake beard over your mustache and sideburns.
Rad.
Buckled into the passenger seat is the painting, and it's like a really cool painting of the Phantom, like JoJo posing.
Boy, are you lot coming from that masquerade ball?
Yes. Convinced.
And what is the fake name on your documentation, Jack?
Shoot, man.
Hang on. What's the name of Vincent Price's character in The Invisible Man Returns?
Oh, let me see. It's something silly.
Well, that's more clever than I was going to say Griff Jackin, but...
Griff Jackin's pretty funny.
Jeffrey Radcliffe is the name of Vincent Price's character in the sequel to The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, on the documentation, he'll see Jeffrey Radcliffe, and then because we've been only seeing flags of Dracula's dragon, I'll have what looks like a dragon at the top of the documentation to make it look as official as possible.
Pretty cool.
All right, Dr. Radcliffe, very official documentation looking here. Everything seems to be up to snuff. Go ahead and move along and we'll keep the civil militia watching after your carriage as you make your way through.
All right. Thank you so much. You're doing the Lord's work.
All right. Well, combat averted. Yay! You guys can continue moving past London. One of these days, you will have a combat with an angry mob.
Yeah.
But not this day.
They're huge!
Oh, there's two big tokens! Oh, God!
Go ahead on your transit from London to South Downs. Everyone take a long rest.
Yay!
I no longer have exhaustion.
You're free! Yay!
And along the way, whatever getting up to speed happens. And as everyone is going to sleep, Imhotep, for the first time since you've been walking the earth again, freed from your sarcophagus, you begin to feel yourself get tired and start to nod off.
Gross. Don't like it. Okay.
And as you lose consciousness, you begin to feel extremely cold. You begin to feel wind whipping around you.
Oh, no.
And you feel unsteady and unstable as you begin to rock back and forth, and your eyes shoot open in the body of your past self in Stygia.
Oh, damn, we were done with this.
And your body is suspended in midair, your limbs splayed out, and your eyes glowing an ethereal blue. And the avatar of Levistus reappears before you.
Oh, not this again.
As he says,
"It has been too soon, little traitor. I do admire the work that you do, and were the circumstances different, I might even offer my patronage. But let us just say, you are not the only one who owes a favor to the Devil Lord Fienna."
Oh no.
And you begin to feel your limbs pull apart as ice crystals painfully form between each of your joints and begin to expand. And you feel the brittleness of your skin begin to crust over.
"We had an agreement that I could not hurt you in your future mortal form. However, there is nothing in our agreement that says I could not restore the memories of the torment that you endured. And that is something that our mutual benefactor would very much enjoy to see. The actual physical tormenting is not really my expertise. I much prefer the mental torment and anguish, so I do not take extreme pleasure in this. However, I do take some."
And you then begin to feel some flames wreathing around you, melting through the ice and replacing that chill with fire. As you see, Fierna and Belial begin to also approach and surround your suspended body. And Fierna says,
"I know that this must be an unfamiliar sensation to be sleeping in. But so long as you and I have an outstanding contract, I can guarantee that every single dream you ever have is a dream of hell. You might have gotten out, but you have escaped. Until you fulfill my end of our bargain.
And she materializes a contract.
Oh, with the contracts again.
So I highly recommend that though you have the freedom to turn down this favor, that you accept and take me up on this. After all, I'm merely making my way to repair the damage that you have done to each of us here in the heavens. What I request of you is that you take this contract and acquire the signature of one Mother Carrionite of the Weird Sisters. If you can convince her to sign over her soul, and by extension the souls of her sisters, into my care, then I can make some steps and some advances on a bit of steam we're brewing down here in order to help return the balance of power back where it should be. Should she perish before you acquire her signature? Well, then we'll just have to wait until the next deal. I will leave you with this contract and let you stew on the best way to get her to sign herself over to me. Should you do this, our favor is concluded, and you will be officially off the hook and lose this particular tether tying you to the hells. But until then, I will take extreme enjoyment in your suffering in the interim.
When Fierna says, like, my contract, Belial's just gonna go...
And Fierna's gonna take a deep sigh.
Did I say under my patronage? I meant to say under the patronage of Belial.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're correct. Boy, misunderstand.
Yes, I think we both agree and understand what's happening here. Regardless, if you can sign over the soul of Mother Carrionite to Belial.
Gives you a little wink.
Then our deal is concluded and the favor is met.
Really quickly, through the pain and all this stuff, because he is such a strong soul and he's gone through a lot, is he still wearing the ring?
You need not worry about her meddling and intercepting this conversation. We are, after all, in the realm of dreams, and she currently does not have access to the sister that has dominion over dreams.
You're welcome, Deb.
However, that instinct is correct. You should not speak openly about this when you are in your waking form.
Is he mumbling in his sleep?
Yeah, piece of shit. He has learned from his years of hell to carefully read the contracts. What are they offering to Mother Carrion? Because she also deals in contracts, she's also going to be just as wary about what the contract says.
This is a contract that has an enchantment placed over it. That is essentially an exchange of servitude and ownership.
So this is effectively, hey, give us your soul and we'll make you a warlock kind of stuff.
Basically, this is essentially an extension on life after death, in exchange for ownership of her soul and, by extension, the Weird Sisters to Belial. The details of all of those shimmer a bit and fluctuate.
He just shoots the Mistress a look.
He shrugs and says,
"Old habits. Either way, we will leave you with this contract to ponder over and do with it what you will. We advise being cautious, and we advise not being too hasty in trying to dispatch Mother Carrionite until you are certain what you will do with her, and until you are certain that her soul is signed away. If you choose to be reckless, so be it. We will keep this trend going until you find another favor that you can agree to. But in the meantime, I will leave you in the clutches of the Prince of Traitors.
Just one thing before you go. The group that I'm with is intent on killing her. If I can get her to sign it before that happens, I am still off the hook, as it is.
All I care about is the signature. Whatever the rest of you decide to do, that's on you.
Before we let you go, just to be perfectly transparent, my guy, you've got a lot of bad blood down here. And we may enlist the assistance of our other lords to come up with something else for you too, so,
Again, a dirty look at Levistus.
He is only the beginning. So, keep that in mind.
All of this, of course, has already transpired in your past. I am simply removing the veil that I have so kindly put up of the 100 years of torment that I have kept repressed for your own sake. I do have my moments. You cannot betray someone who you do not first garner the trust of.
Very well. I shall do what I can.
Right.
Now, I have a favor that I need to make good on.
And you begin to feel your skin slowly pulled apart. And you can feel, in your mummy form, there is not as much to be able to manipulate on an atomic level. But he is still expanding what is there. The organs that had reformed in your mummy shape begin to enlarge and press upon your bones internally. And you can feel yourself crushing your own innards. And then you awaken back in the carriage with contract in hand.
Yeah, Spanish motherfucker!
What was that?
Spanish motherfucker!
I thought so.
Are we not liking Spaniards?
Are we learning something new about you, Imhotep?
No.
I read a book about Egyptians from the Nubians. They're not very tolerant people.
He's going to look at the contract, kind of roll his hand to see the ring, put the contract into the bag, kind of, you know, steeple his fingers near his face and kind of say, I'm looking forward to meeting with Carrionite again. I have a proposition for her. He's very clearly, like, talking into the wiretap.
Well, if by proposition you mean a sword or javelin to the face, then yes, I like that proposition. Let's give it to her as swiftly.
That covers up the ring.
Maybe killing is not the only answers to our problems. And then Phantom looks expectantly at Larry.
Oh, no. This time, I think it's deserved. All three of those witches need to go. What we need, she has a sight.
Stuff's hand in the bag of holding.
What? What is happening?
Don't worry about it.
I think during the hallucination that I had, didn't Carrie and I try and come on to Imhotep? So this might be kind of weird.
What?
She did what now?
Oh, I'm sorry. The hallucination where what happened? This is the first I am hearing of this, Jack.
No, that was a hallucination that I thought that, like, you and her were, like, winking at each other.
You know, I was having a fever that day, too, but I think in my last moments of consciousness, I remembered that.
Oh.
I tell you what, get it, Imhotep. Till death, right?
Side pieces aside.
Oh, not you too.
We've got our first ship.
No.
Take that ship right now.
I'm so confused.
I'm also very confused. What?
I could see how this is going to be really awkward, but Imhotep, like, if we can table those personal feelings or not personal, I don't know how that necessarily works.
Yeah, you're just going to need to keep your head in the game, Imhotep.
I hate you all so much. God, it's good to be back.
But on the actual subject of Carrionite, we need her scythe. She's not going to give up her scythe. So why don't we make this all easy on ourselves and just send her to the next life, take her scythe, and free those people. because quite honestly, as I summon the javelin, a little tiny bit of electricity just kind of sparkles, is like, even though I have mixed feelings towards him, without Vordenberg's oath, I wouldn't be able to wield this. And all of us are a lot stronger now. And I feel that if Dracula gets his fangs in her and influences her, she'll become an even greater problem. So let's just nip this one in the bud, be done with it, get the scythe, and we can get those people freed from their painting prisons, and we can move on to Stratford.
Right. And we have an advantage this time. Before, we didn't know what we were getting into, and we're kind of caught off guard, but now we know what she can do and what she's capable of, and we know what she wants, and we can kind of use that to our advantage.
And she doesn't know what we are capable of now.
Right. She has no idea.
Now, come on. I think that from our new position of a slightly leveraged power, mm-hmm. maybe we're being unfair. Maybe we should provide an opportunity and appeal to her better nature.
Phantom, are you okay?
What? Yes, I'm okay.
I mean, normally...
You told me back there that she wanted to still slice and dice up my soul.
Well, to be fair, we heard that through the man who is too long. And if she does want to, I'm not against. Obviously, we defend ourselves.
Right.
But, you know, is murdering people the first option?
For you, not you.
Well, if you want to do it, we can do it. I don't know. It feels... I'm trying, damn it. And then Phantom, like, pouts and he looks out the window.
I just, like, look over Phantom and just, like... Did you swear an oath of redemption?
This is unbelievable. How is it this hard? What do you people want from me?
Wait. All right. I'm gonna start patting you on the back. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. We're going into this a little too hasty. Let's see what's all out on the board. And then we can decide where to go from there.
This is unbelievable. This is bullshit. And Phantom's just muttering for the rest of the ride.
Playing their games ends badly. I don't know exactly what happened to you all in the dream realm with What's-Her-Face.
Right.
But with Carrie Knight, she's the most dangerous one of them all. And I don't know what she does with those souls that she has trapped. According to Vordenberg, that was his penance and his, let's say, sentence for what he has done in his life. And while I would normally like to try and talk to someone to help them maybe change their ways, with Carrie Knight, I have a feeling that there is nothing that we can do or say to change her or to move her from this path. She's cast her lot in life, and she has stuck to it.
When we eventually get there, does anyone have a problem with me trying to stealth around behind?
No, I was actually going to ask if you could.
Oh.
All right.
You think you'll be able to stay safe?
I trust him implicitly. You're a valued member of the team.
That's... Thank you.
You got it, Jack. And then I look knowingly at Emotep.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Gives a very awkward thumbs up, yes.
Yeah, obviously? Yeah, anyway, but yes, we can go in there. We're not going to be gullible this time. We're not going to be taken advantage of this time. But they don't know that we're going to be better. We can use that to our advantage.
This entire time, Emotep's hand is still deep in the fucking bag of holding. Like, up to his forearm.
He just keeps sinking in deeper. I'm thinking if she still wants something from us, we can use that to our advantage to get close.
So who's going to be on team talking to Carrie Knight first?
Obviously Emotep. For obviously to Imhotep, not to everybody else, that Imhotep is going to be on team talk to them.
I think maybe I should be up there as well.
I'll be with the talking team, but I'm not going to say much.
I'll hang back with Mary, who I trust implicitly.
Sounds good.
Should we have a trigger word so that way Mary knows when it's stabby time?
Sacre bleu.
Sacre.
Wow, your Welsh accent really kills it. Never mind, no French for you.
Say that one more time.
I think you said socket shoe.
All right, this was obviously a mistake. I'm keeping my culture to myself.
As you begin to come down along a familiar path, you can see fog beginning to roll in, emanating from deep within the forest. And near the felled tree where you had to get out on foot before, you can see a pack of wolves is eyeing your carriage and is following you intently with their faces, watching you wind your way down the path. A cloud of fog billows in front of them, and after it passes, they are gone, and you are back in the wetlands of South Downs.
I think we're at the tree. We're at the infamous tree. It's time for us to get out.
We are the outcasts, the misfits, you might say. We deal with the nightmares that you run away from every single day. We know the world is a gruesome little place, but us outsiders, we've developed quite a taste for the grisly and morbid, the ghastly and the horrid. We know it's awful, dreadful, but we like it. Just another haunted night, shrouded with unearthly fright. So when you're oh so terrified, you know who to call. The world is falling apart, we'll never take it to heart. So monsters and creatures and spirits and specters and all, let's all have a ball.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jurs, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Special thanks to our patrons, including Dire Beast, The Lone One VA, Harley Q135, The OG Phantom, and Lone Star. If you want to join our cult and hear your name entered into the pool of credit shoutouts, as well as get access to our fan Discord, bonus mini campaigns, and one-shots, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for just $5 a month. If you want to help us out in other ways, spread the word to your friends and family, or leave us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. D&D Dark's cast this episode is Jordan Nelson as Larry Talbot, the Wolfman, Aaron Coffold as Eric, the Phantom of the Opera, Daniel Cruz as Imhotep, the Mummy, Grayson Norman as Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man, and Ben Magnet as Mary, the Frankenstein Monster. Our theme song and outro is Let's All Have a Ball by Ryan White Maloney and Tony Carboni, recorded at True North Studios, Las Vegas. Listen to new episodes of D&D Dark Wednesdays, anywhere you find podcasts.
Dusty, I'm going to try something I have never tried before.
1 second. Somebody, my brother's bottom is stomping all the way out.
Hold that thought.
I'm sorry, start over? I wasn't paying attention, huh?
Dusty, I'm going to try something I have never tried before.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I am your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for. And to, make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're gonna be making comments like that, I'm gonna have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, alright?
Alright, I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien, premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to...